Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight, we got a good one for you. Me and my boy Keys, we got a lot to talk about tonight. But let me introduce my co-host, Keys. What's going on, bro? How you doing?
Yo, I'm good, bro. Just, we got like pouring rain over here. I'm pulling out the canoe, man, to row the boat down to my crib. So, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Idle can't see there, huh?
Yeah, it's hitting now. It's pretty much hitting now. I just came home from the gym. It was like, I was driving home and like it was raining pretty good, but like, you know, Massachusetts, we're not scared of the, you know, bad weather out here. We're used to driving in pretty bad weather, so as you are. So I was driving, then it was like went from 0 to 100 real quick. Like I pulled up to the light near my house. All of a sudden, it was like, had my windshield wipers on max, and I couldn't see through them. I was like, oh man, it started just like torrential. I was like, damn, there's about to be some flooded streets over here, baby.
Yeah, man, I know about that rain, man. When I drove back home over the summer, when we was leaving Nashville, oh my God, it was coming down. I mean, it was coming down. You could barely see like 2 feet in front of you. Man, and these motherfuckers, they were still doing like 70. Man, I was in that right-hand lane doing 65, 45, chilling, making sure I live. But I know about that East Coast rain. That East Coast rain ain't no joke. And couple that with a hurricane. But let's get into it, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely thoughts, you know, with all the states that are like directly in the hurricane right now, directly in the storm. I know down south is like around Louisiana is like right in the eye of the storm, pretty much down south, probably Florida. I'm not sure how Florida is, but I think those southern states are like pretty much getting hit really bad. So definitely thoughts with those people. And yeah, so, you know, and we'll get into some other things a little bit later. But as for now, you know, the thing that I wanted to say was it felt like I said this a couple of shows ago that, you know, I felt like it's been kind of boring. You know, I feel like it's been kind of dry. The UFC has been kind of dry. You know, it's been so dry that we're over here, you know, trying to get fake excited, you know, for a Jake Paul boxing match. You know, we pretty much been forced to cover the boxing match or to cover boxing at all. I hate to say it, but we kind of been forced to care about boxing in the first place. And that's kind of sad because usually the UFC is so lit and everything is so active and there's so many, you know, high level cards going down, so many exciting fights going down that we don't really have to talk about boxing and we don't really need to, you know what I'm saying, cover anything or ever feel like we're in a content drought. But we've been in a content drought as far as UFC, and they really fell off. I'm going to tell you why. So I looked at the timeline, and what I realized, and this is, I mean, a lot of people probably realize this, but if you really look at it, I'm going to break it down to you. So I think we went into such a high with July because you had the Poirier-McGregor 3 card, which there was so much hype on that. The card itself wasn't crazy, crazy. It wasn't like you had, you know, all classics fights on there, but still the hype was so much. And then if you remember, I think it was either the week after that card or 2 weeks after that card, you had the return to TJ Dillashaw, and he was fighting in an absolute banger of a fight, Corey Sandhagen, two of the best guys. So that was a banger of a fight and probably fight of the year candidate. Maybe even fight of the year in a minute. So that was such a high, you know, we pretty much got to like an absolute peak of the UFC roller coaster, and there just wasn't really, it was such a hard dip, you know, because it was, you know, as far as they go up, you know, they go down even harder, and that was pretty much what happened. We pretty much got to the peak of the UFC roller coaster, and then we dipped off at that peak so hard. Because it was really, it was just difficult to follow that up. That couple weeks that they had going there, I mean, you also had Miesha Tate return in that time frame too. She was in the midst of that that high hype period too. So you had a big CJ Dillashaw comeback, a big Miesha Tate comeback, and the Poirier McGregor trilogy. So you had that, and then it was like we dipped off, and even though we had a heavyweight title fight, it was kind of like not that crazy of a heavyweight title fight because nobody really was too hyped for an interim heavyweight belt. You know, I don't think either one of us was really looking for an interim heavyweight belt. I don't think either one of us was really too crazy about that idea, but we just kind of accepted it because, you know, the fight itself was a fun fight. You know, Derek Lewis is always a fun fight. Cyril Gane is a true beast and now UFC champion. But either way, that fight was still kind of underwhelming once it did happen. And then the rest of that card was kind of not that crazy. So it didn't really have that much, you know, even leading up to that interim heavyweight fight. And then the heavyweight fight was pretty underwhelming. So, you know, the next big pay-per-view card after all that crazy stuff happened, you know, with Dillashaw, Tate, and McGregor, Poirier, all this craziness. After that, it was just they didn't really give us that much. It kind of fell off really hard. The next pay-per-view card was kind of boring, and then it just didn't really feel exciting. And then after that, you know, what even got worse was then you could just tell how much they overbooked the UFC summer cards. Like we've always said on our show, how they kind of overbooked these cards and they put, you know, all their big fights on the same card, you know, to try to stack it out. And then what ends up happening is you end up having these UFC events that you have, you know, Uriah Hall fighting Sean Strickland in the main event of the UFC Fight Night. And I think we all can agree that that's kind of a snooze for a main event, you know, if we're keeping it real. So, you know, if you don't have enough fights to the point where you got to put Uriah Hall in the main event, I mean, that's kind of sad because that dude fell off, man. To put him up there, that's kind of sad to me. So you had that, and then it was just kind of boring. Yeah, every event been kind of boring. The main event's been kind of slack, if you ask me. And it seems like they kind of just been throwing cards together just to remain active. You know, like we've talked about, they're just kind of wanting to be on, you know, on TVs. And then as a result, you know, we've had to cover Jake Paul boxing matches because there's no good UFC to talk about. So that was pretty much what happened with that. And now is like, I even looked at the UFC calendar and it's still like another, I want to say three, four weeks until the next pay-per-view card. So the UFC, I don't know what happened here because it seemed like it's been a while since the last pay-per-view. It's been already like, I think, almost going on 4 weeks since the last pay-per-view. And then there's still like another 3 weeks until the next one. And usually you get like one every month. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what happened with that. But it's just kind of slack, man. I mean, that's why we've had a content drought because it was at the top of the roller coaster and then we dipped off and we pretty much just been in the lowlands. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, to our true fans that listen to our show, they know we have been talking about oversaturation of the UFC product for about a year, year and a half, maybe even pushing 2 years. They have a contract with ESPN to do so many shows per year. And my thing is with the UFC is I understand ESPN wanted you to help them launch the ESPN Plus app. But at the same time, you got a reputation to uphold. You know, you want to put on quality events. UFC fans, mixed martial arts fans, we will watch. You know, we will watch to a certain degree. But at the same time, is I'm not going to watch a card just for one fight. Like on last weekend card, you know, with Anthony Barboza and Chikadze. You know, I didn't watch that card. I mean, I got up the next morning and watched the post-fight show, but, you know, I was like, man, this card just doesn't grab me. And really the last couple cards haven't grabbed me, whereas I was like, well, I'm going to sit down and watch this card, you know, whatever. That just hasn't happened. And I think the UFC has to they already in bed with ESPN and they already signed off on this thing with ESPN. But I think when it comes time for them to go back to the table, the negotiating table, they need to go back to the old days. One fight night a month, one pay-per-view a month. That way you can have stacked cards every month because you don't have fighters out there coming fighting every 6 weeks or fighting every 3 weeks, you know. So I think the oversaturation thing is definitely true because we've been talking about it. That's why I call for them to fight replacement fighters because everybody's basically been fighting the whole time. I think the idea of doing the one-on-one per month is the perfect way to go. You do a fight night, take a week off, do a pay-per-view. Take a week off, you do a fight night. Take a week off, you do a pay-per-view. I mean, that way you're on a pay-per-view every month. Or if that doesn't work for you, you don't want to do a pay-per-view every month, you just have two fight nights. You know, get a customer something for free. You know, give us something to watch on TV for free where we ain't really got to spend our money. You know, get something back. It's just crazy, man. As much as I like the sport of MMA and UFC, I just think right now they just their contract with ESPN is just doing too much. I know during the pandemic it was cool to basically have, you know, a live sport event on every weekend. But now that the world is kind of opening up a little bit, even though COVID is still, you know, doing its thing, I don't think they need to have an event every week. Because what, they had an event every week, and then they had the big pay-per-view, and then they took 2 weeks off, and then they've been active ever since. Man, it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, I think the you know, it is crazy because we have been talking about this. You know, we've been talking about this for a while on our show and how – well, you said it first back then, how, you know, you said it a couple of years ago, longer than a year and a half. You said that, you know, way back when we first getting on. You were talking about how they were starting to do too many shows. And I want to say it really picked up around that time, like 2018, 2019 is when – probably 2019 is when they really started to, like, try to get on every single week. And then it was like, it started to seem like they were just putting anybody, you know, on the card just to make it happen. And then you end up watching a card where it's like, okay, I don't know anybody on this card. Like, I understand the point of getting new names up there. Like, I'm with that. But at the same time, kind of give me some kind of incentive to watch that fight. Like, you got to put, like, we've always said this, is that we don't really want to see two brand new names fight each other. Like, we kind of want to see, put a brand new name in there against a guy that's, like, pretty good, but he has a couple fights. Somebody that we've probably watched fight before. And that doesn't necessarily mean those type of fights where you have a newcomer fighting, like, Shogun Hua, you know, somebody like that. We're not really saying that. We're saying put them in there against a guy who's still very – who might be still early in his career, but we at least know who they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, put one of these new tough guys against, like, Casey Kenney. You know what I'm saying? Because Casey Kenney is a guy that I've seen a handful of fights from him at this point. And he's fairly new, too, but he's still really game. You know, and he still puts on a good show. So if when I see him on a card, me personally, I'm interested when I see his name on a card. You know, even if he's coming off a loss, because I know he puts on a fun fight and he comes to fight. So that's what I think. I think brand new guy versus brand new Joe Schmo, you know what I mean? Because both of those guys, we look up their picture and they don't even have a picture there. It's just a, you know, you look up their name and it doesn't even have a profile photo. It's like, okay, I don't even know I don't even know if this is a real person. Like, what makes me want to watch that, you know, he or she watch their fight? Like, why would I don't even get a sense of who this is. Like, even if I don't know them, I can't even see a picture of them. Like, and y'all putting, ghost profile versus ghost profile, and I'm supposed to want to watch that? Like, I just feel like that's kind of that's where they kind of fall off with me. Like I don't really like that kind of booking because it doesn't really incentivize me to want to watch it. And those guys might be putting on banger fights, but you know it doesn't really you got to see from the fan perspective of how that wouldn't be too enticing when they can't even get an idea of who the character is. So yeah, I like what you were saying. I think 1-1, you know, go back to the one pay-per-view, you know, do a fight night, you know, maybe even do the fight night the first weekend of the month. Do the fight night the first weekend of the month and then skip, you know, have no card the second week of the month and then do the pay-per-view the third week of the month. And then the fourth week of the month, you'll have no card. You can promo, you know, whatever's going on the first week of the following month. Then you can go do the fight night again. Then you have another bye week, and then you go into the next pay-per-view. I think that would be a good format. You know what I'm saying? So you don't feel like you're getting jam-packed with fights. And then you can also have better cards. You don't have to put, you know, all these, you know, fighters that we never heard of on the same card and then not really entice that many people to want to watch it.
Yeah, I always felt that for the fight night, you should have two top 10 guys or two top 15 guys main event a fight night card. And then on the co-main event, you have two up-and-comers that have good records. You have them fight each other. So that way, you know, we as fans, we get to grow with these guys. We get to grow with these girls to see them as they fight their way through the ranks, you know, see them get better or see, you know, that they took a loss, you know, how they came back from that loss or whatever. It just gives you, the fan, more connectivity with the fighters, especially the up-and-coming ones, where if you had two top 15 guys or girls fighting in the main event, that fight means something. That fight means that somebody's going to move up in the rankings and somebody's going to move down in the rankings. That fight means something. So, you know, as far as what you said about it's a bad look if you're looking up on, like, ESPN.com and you're looking at the card and they don't even have somebody's picture up there, it's like, so to me, it's like y'all bringing this guy in from a lesser organization or, you know, in somebody's first fight. You know, what are we doing here? You should always have a picture of the competitor up on the site, man. So, like you said, even if I'm just looking at him, I'm like, all right, you look tough, you know, okay. You like his record, look like his record should be this or whatever. You know, a lot of people, like what they say when you eat your food, the first thing you do is you eat your food with your eyes. If it look good, then automatically you think it's going to taste good because it looks good. So, you know, but the UFC oversaturation started Keys when they signed the ESPN deal. When they left Fox and UFC had a great situation where, you know, we had the pre-fight shows, we had the weigh-ins, we had the free fight night cards, and then, you know, we would do the prelims on Fox, and then you would roll over to the pay-per-view. The Fox situation, to me, was a better situation for the UFC. But there is no way the UFC could have turned down that ESPN money. So when you jump in the bed with a double, sometimes you got to pay the cost. And right now they're paying the cost with these shiesty cards that they have to put on just to meet their quota with the ESPN. And, you know, man, it's just something that, you know, we got to live with. And I kind of agree with you. I'm going to throw something in there. I'm going to add something to the in there for you when you said have the fight night, take a week off, have the pay-per-view, take a week off. That last week, I would do the Dana White Contender Series. That way, you know, it gives you something fresh and new to look at. You know, you get to see people possibly earn their way into the UFC. And then it's actually free programming. So you give me a fight night card, a week off, a pay-per-view, and then you follow that week up with the Dana White Contender Series, I'm cool with that as a fan.
Yeah, me too. You know, but yeah, let's transition off that because I want to, there's some other topics we definitely want to get to. Real quick, I just want to say, I think it's dope that the UFC is getting the first, Laura Sanko is the first female color commentator. I'm pretty sure they had her on, I want to say it was last night. Was it last night? I think the Contender Series is back. Is it Dana White Contender Series, I think, that they were doing?
Yeah,
last
it was
night,
the
and they had Laura Sanko as a color commentator, and I guess that was the first time the UFC's ever had a female color commentator. So I think that's dope because that's an idea that I've seen kicked around, and I wouldn't mind seeing. You know, she has a good mind for the sport. You know, she knows what she's talking about a lot more than you know some of these other guys that they put up there. And she could actually teach, you know, a handful of these guys a lot about the game. So I think that's good. I think I'm happy to see her out there, and that's a good move. So props to them and props to her for getting that look that she deserves. I think she's good for the sport overall.
Yeah, that's a good look by them. I think they're kind of late to the game on that, though, because you had Misha Tate calling Invicta fights. You had we had our girl, Paige VanZant. She used to call, one championship fights? She called somebody fights. I can't remember who it was. So I think they kind of like, because they didn't do play-by-play. They did anime. So my bad. I take that back, fans. My bad. I'm correcting myself. They didn't do the play-by-play. They did the analyst work. And the play-by-play is a lot harder than the analyst job, if you ask me. So with keys on that, you know, Sanko has paid her dues. You know, she's done backstage interviews. She's done the fight day interviews in the back. Sanko has done the MMA show. You know, so she paid her dues, man, and I think it's a good look for her. And as fans, we always want to judge somebody. Let's not judge her off her first show. If we're going to judge her, let's be constructive, and then let's see how she does on the second show. But let's not judge her off of one show. Let's give her time to learn, and then see how she does in the next fight. Because we quick to demonize or knock somebody, you know, right off the bat instead of emphasizing the positive. And the positive is Dana White gave her a shot, and I think she took advantage of it, and I think she did a good job.
For sure, for sure. So two things that I want to get into. Two things. So both of them having to do with this weekend's UFC card. This card, I haven't looked at the whole card, so I can't really say it's underwhelming just yet. But I do like the main event. I like Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. I think that's a fun – what is that, welterweight? Oh, no, that's middleweight. Okay, so I think that's a fun middleweight fight. That's two guys that I think are right there. Derek Brunson wins that. I mean, if Derek Brunson wins that fight, he's got to call out. He's got to fight for the title. Like, this dude is like, what's that? Like, be like a 4-fight win streak for him? A 5-fight win streak? Like, Derek Brunson has looked like a beast. Like, even though he has had some boring wins and his style has been really, you know, boring to watch some fights, because he doesn't really throw a lot of ground strikes when he's in top position. He kind of just lay in praise. But at the same time, he's still winning fights. And how many fights does Derek Brunson really need to win for him to get a title shot? You know, I don't know, like, how many more wins he would really need. I think if he wins here, maybe you just wait, you know, and wait for your title shot, because that's kind of crazy to me. But what do you think about the Till and Brunson fight, though, overall?
Well, like you said, Brunson is on a 4-fight winning streak. His last loss came against Israel Adesanya, the current champ. So we shall see how it goes, whereas Darren Till has lost 3 of his last 4. But if you look who he's fought, you know, he's fought some beasts, man. He fought Woodley. He's fought Stephen Thompson, Tyron Woodley, Masvidal, Gastelum, and Whitaker. So once again, Me and Keith talked about this about 3 weeks ago. It ain't your record. It's the competition. You're supposed to lose the top guys. You can't always go into MMA fight and have two good fighters and, you know, they're going to fight to a draw. No, some of these fighters, when you get to the top 10, you're supposed to lose. So I'm not mad about Darren Till's record because I'm looking at the people he fought. So Brunson, I think if he wins, he could call for a title shot. But I think the only way he gets a title shot is while if Whitaker wins. I don't think the UFC will put him in there against Israel Adesanya because of the way he lost to Adesanya the first time. So, Brunson is a dog, man. His style isn't very appeasing to fans that like action because Brunson is a world-class wrestler, and he uses that to his advantage, which I'm not mad about. I just think he needs to add other elements to his game. You could say Brunson is kind of like the black Damian Maya because his striking is okay, but he's superior on the mat. And if he can't take you down, then how can he beat you? Because he does have power, but most fighters aren't scared of his striking. So I think this is a big fight for Brunson, but I think this is an even bigger fight for Darren Till.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a must-win fight for Darren Till. I think if he were to lose, I mean, he has been losing to the best guys. He did fight Whitaker. But, I think there's a lot more pressure on Till to win this. I don't think Brunson really – I don't think you really take anything away from him if he were to lose it because I think he would still be right there if he loses. I feel like he would still be in the same spot pretty much one win away from the title fight, especially where Whitaker is, you know, they're kind of waiting on that fight. So, you know, you have that. Darren Till, I'm leaning towards Brunson to win the fight. I just think that it's unfortunate. I want to see Darren Till win the fight. I'm going to be rooting for Darren Till to win the fight. You know, I'd love to see Darren Till get a knockout or something like that. But I just feel like Brunson is just so focused right now. It's like ever since he dyed his hair, man, I swear, ever since Brunson dyed his hair blonde, he has been unbeatable. He's been unbeatable, man. Blonde hair Brunson, man. He is like a Super Saiyan fighter, man. I'm telling you. When Brunson had the darker hair, he was losing, man. He was losing fights left and right. He was getting knocked out. You know, he was getting embarrassed. And then it was like ever since he dyed his hair blonde, he dyed that like more like yellowish blonde, he's just been a force to be reckoned with. So as long as he didn't dye his hair back, I think Brunson beats Darren Till here. But if he went back to the darker hair that he had before, I think Darren Till is going to knock him out. And, I'll be rooting for Darren Till to win the fight, but I do think Brunson comes in with the blonde hair and he puts on another dominant performance.
I'm leaning the same way, but I'm going to jump out on a limb, and I'm going to say Darren Till's win this fight in an upset. I think Darren Till rediscovers what made him a title contender. I think he goes back to that. And what I mean by that, he's going to be hard for Brunson to hit. I think Till is going to be very light on his feet. He definitely better be working on his takedown defense. If you don't work on your takedown defense against Derek Brunson, you're walking in the octagon as a loser already. So I think Till is going to be prepared. And I think Till pulls it out with a split decision upset.
Hey, man, I'd like to see that. Another person that I'm going to be looking at on this card is this Paddy Pimblett. This Paddy Pimblett is, I don't know that much about him. I'm pulling up his record right now. But I want to say he was a world champion in Cage Warriors, possibly a two-division world champion. And he's from the UK. Okay, so his record is 16-3. So he's 16-3. He fought. Yeah, I can't see what organizations that he fought. I know he was in Cage Warriors at one point, but yeah, he's supposed to be a prospect and he's coming over. You know, he's definitely a guy who gets a lot of finishes just looking at his record. So, you know, I'm interested. I've been hearing a lot of hype about this guy. You know, five TKOs, seven submissions, four decisions. So this guy likes to finish fights. There's been a lot of hype around him. I am interested to see if he's going to live up to the hype or not. You know, some guys come over and they're not as good as they were made to seem, or they are very good, but when they face the UFC-level competition, they just don't look as good. And I think that's, you know, that tends to be more of the case when guys come over. It's not necessarily that, you know, they were a two-division champion in their previous promotion and then they can't replicate that in the UFC. You know, I don't think that really, you know, says that they weren't that good. I think it just means that, you know, I think it's just more of a testament to the UFC's level of competition. You know, the guys that are here are just, you know, they really do have some really tough guys. And I think that's just, it's more of a testament to that. You know, I don't think these guys are frauds. But, yeah, either way, I'm interested to see, you know, what he brings to the table.
You know, I'm looking at his record right now. But he's like 16-3. He fought in Cage Warriors. He was a champion over there. He definitely knows how to submit his opponents. So he got a submission game and a knockout game. So should be an interesting fight, man. The guy he's fighting is 9-2. So, you know, this might be the UFC putting him in there probably against a guy he's supposed to be. But sometimes, as Keys would say, in your first fight in the UFC, sometimes the lights are a little bright. And a lot of fighters, you know, they get shell-shocked. So we'll see how he deals with that. But look at on paper, he should win this fight, but you never know.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, when guys come over, sometimes, you know, they get exposed when they come over, and then sometimes they come over and they absolutely crush, you know, whoever they put in front of them for their first UFC fight. So we'll just see how it plays out. But either way, you know, that'll be this weekend. You know, I want to ask you about a couple other things because, you know, one thing that has really been developing, and I don't know if you've caught wind of this. I'm sure you have, but – like, I just literally typed in UFC on Google, right? Not even. I'm on Safari. I typed in UFC just now. Just to reiterate my point that I'm about to make. And the first article that comes up, all I did was type in UFC. You know, the first article says, Nama Yunus Zhang title rematch added to UFC 268. And that is exactly what I was going to ask you about. That UFC 268 card, hold on. Right. That UFC 268 card looks so damn good, right? And I think that's the reason why it's bittersweet right now to be in this UFC content drought because we are on such a high. Then now we dip down. We're gonna handle the lows for a while, right? We're gonna battle through the lows to then get all these banger fights coming up. You know, the Volkanovski and Ortega fight is coming. Then then our boy Blachowicz is fighting. You know, shortly after that, and I'm pretty sure. That card, the Blachowicz card is happening, and then they're doing the MSG card is like a couple days after. I'm pretty sure they're doing them back-to-back weekends. I don't know if you were aware of that, but yeah, the Blachowicz is fighting, I want to say like late October. It's like just before Halloween or maybe even on Halloween. And then the MSG card is literally the following week. So that's crazy because we're literally going to see like two or three, maybe even four very high level title matches, you know, fought in seven to eight days time, between that October and, you know, those October and November months. And I know you're excited about, Rose fighting Zhang again or Rose fighting period.
Oh, you know, I'm a Rose Nama Yunus fan, man. So anytime I can see her fight, I'm all for it. Well, hey, But I think the fight that I'm definitely looking forward to, Keith, when are these cards, is I want to see Aljamain Sterling and Petr Yan, man. We need to right this wrong, man. It's either Aljamain needs to beat him, or we need to see the champ get his belt back and keep the division moving. This is one of them fights that I'm an Aljamain Sterling fan, but at the same time, I don't like his actions after he was awarded the belt, not that he won the belt, after he was awarded the belt. I don't like his actions, you know, talking about fighting other guys, and then he out here doing commercials, and all of a sudden he can't do the rematch because he needs surgery. So I just don't like all the actions that Aljo has done since being awarded the belt. So that's the fight I'm looking forward to, man, out of all these fights, because that's the one that should give us a no-doubt-about-it champion. Although I felt Jan was dominating him in the first fight, and, you know, just unfortunately he did something illegal.
I'm kind of surprised that's your fight you're most excited. That's the fight you're most excited for, but I mean, either way, I just gotta read you this UFC 268 card real quick because I just pulled this up and I'm kind of blown away right now, and I don't have it in my heart to not share it with you because this card is looking so good. Like, I don't even think I'm gonna be able to leave from in front of my TV. So first of all, you got Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington rematch at the very top of the mountain. The co-main event, they got Thug Rose Namajunas, who back in the day I predicted that she was going to beat Joanna for the bout when nobody thought she would beat Joanna, and she did. So I just want to throw that out there, that I was saying that when nobody believed in her. And actually, if you go back and look at the Vegas odds at that time, I'm pretty sure Thug Rose was like a crazy underdog. She was like, if you had bet Rose, you would have cashed out big time. Like, she was, and that's so crazy because, I mean, I'm not really into betting much like that, but for the people who did, you know, they definitely cashed out big time. I want to say Rose was like plus 1,000 or greater. Like, she was, like, in that range. Like, it was crazy. And Joanna, I think, was, like, a minus 600 or something like that. The line was crazy. It was absolutely nuts what that line was. The public had no faith in Rose. But, hey, they had a lot of faith in her after that fight. They had a lot of faith in her. You know, she gained a lot of fans after that fight. So, but, yeah, so Rose going to fight Zhang Weili again. So they're going to do a rematch co-main event. Then we're going to get an absolute banger of a fight in Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler, which is actually the fight that you predicted. You've been predicted that fight, like, earlier this summer. You said you thought it would end up being Gaethje and Chandler. So I got to give you credit for that because you've been saying that for a while. And it happened the way you said it would. You said Gaethje was going to wait and see what happens with the title. And then once he could see, you know, that whether or not Oliveira and Poirier was going to happen, once they pretty much announced that or they started having rumors about that, all of a sudden you saw Gaethje and Chandler get booked. So you pretty much predicted that, hit the nail on the head. And then, you know, you have Sean Strickland, who I've seen fight before, but I really don't remember his fight style. But I guess people say he's really fun to watch. He's fighting Luke Rockhold. I think that's a cool fight. I am a pretty big Luke Rockhold fan. And I'd like to see him get a win back. I really hope I'll be rooting for him in that fight. And he's back at middleweight, so I'm happy about that. I think that's where he belongs. Jermaine Durandamé is fighting my girl Irene Aldana. I think if Aldana wins that fight, she's fighting the number one contender. So if she wins that fight, I mean, I guess you gotta have a fight, Amanda Nunes, I guess, at that point. So be it. I guess that's the fight, if that happens. And then, yeah, you got your boy Frankie fighting Marlon Vera, which is another banger. And then another banger that I'm sure you're happy about, which is this was probably the most excited I was of any fight on this card when I saw this was on there was our guy Bobby Green is getting a big fight versus Ally Kenta, man. Bobby Green fighting Ally Kenta, man. Come on. Come on. That's a big look for the boy. That's a big look. That's a huge look.
Yeah, man. I think if I could have made the card, I would push Rocco and Strickland down to the prelims, and I would move Green and Ally Kenta up to the main card. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Rocco, he definitely hasn't looked good in his last couple fights, whereas I think Ally Kenta and Bobby Green are going to put on a good fight. And like when you sent it to me, I think you tweeted it, and then my man Bobby got to start off faster. He can't come out there and wait for the action against Ally Kenta, man. I think he needs to push the action and stop letting the other fighters dictate the pace of the fight until, you know, he's ready to go. That's how he lost the last fight, even though me and you felt that the third round should have at least been a 10-8 because of the domination that he showed. But that's why he lost that fight, man, because he waited too long, and I don't think he can do that against Ally Kenta. But I would have Green and Kenta on the main card, and I would definitely move Strickland and Rockhold down.
Yeah, I definitely think that Bobby Green, him and Ally Kenta at this point, Ally Kenta has been not nearly as active. I want to say the last time he fought was when he had that second fight with Kevin Lee. I want to say that was his last fight, which might have been like 2 years ago at this point. So you had that. And then Ally Kenta, yeah, but even when he was active, he always puts on bangers. So, you know, he's a similar guy. He's a similar fight style as Bobby Green. So I think this matchmaking is really interesting to me. You know, these two guys, they're similar to each other. Ally Kenta is a guy that's going to stand in front of you and keep coming forward too. And he takes punishment in fights. And he likes to stand there and box. He's a similar guy as Bobby Green. He's like two demons. They matched up two straight demons in that fight. It's kind of scary, but I mean, both of them having such consistent performances, and then Rockhold pretty much getting knocked out left and right. And Sean Strickland really just came out of nowhere. I mean, just got into like the, you know, point of relevancy. I mean, I don't really even know why that fight is high up on the card like it is. So that's kind of crazy to me, but I mean, I agree with you. I think they should move up Bobby Green up to the main card. He's done more than enough lately, especially with that fight he just put on versus I forget the guy's name that he fought, but especially since that fight that he just put on. That was probably the best fight on that card that night, and I don't even think it was close. So that was probably the best fight on that card, and, you know, he should definitely be – what?
Fiziev. F-I-C-I-E-C.
Oh,
Fiziev?
He fought Fizzy. So Fizzy was in the fight, and then after that, it was like, okay, you basically could have put Bobby Green in the first fight on the main card. That's what I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see Bobby Green open up the main card. I think that would be a good spot, you know, to put him in. And you know, if you really wanted to, you could even have him be the fourth fight down and do GDR versus Aldana to open up the main card, and then do Kenta and Green the fourth fight down, and then you have the featured bout, and then the two, you know, the title double headliner. So I think that'd be the way to go with it. But I mean, it is what it is. UFC. I'm just glad Bobby Green's getting a name like that, you know, because I think you give him clearly. This is what I think. Clearly, the UFC thought otherwise when he lost the last fight. Clearly Dana White did not feel that way. You know, I wouldn't doubt it. Dana White probably had him winning the fight. I haven't seen anything that would say otherwise, but, you know, Dana White likes that kind of fighter. So I wouldn't doubt it. After the fight, Dana White was like, nah, man, we're still going to hook him up with another big fight because I love that kid. I love the way he fights. I could actually, I wouldn't doubt it. Dana White probably said something exactly like that. He's probably like, that kid's a stud. I love the way he fights. We're going to hook him up with Iaquinta. And that's the game, right? It's like, if you lose, but then you still come back and get a bigger fight than the other guy, or just not even bigger fight, but just get a big fight in general, I mean, is that really a loss? You know what I'm saying? You lose, but his stock went up because now he's fighting the guy who has fought Khabib for the title before. Kenta's not ranked, but he's been up there fighting with some of the best guys. You know, his name is pretty much in the mix. You know, he's only out of the rankings because he's been inactive. But before that, he was, you know, he's right there with all those guys skill-wise. So tell me that. If you lose but your stock goes up, is it really a loss?
No, it really isn't. Because basically the company sees value in you. They didn't see value in Fazil, so they would have booked him against Bobby Green, but they didn't. I mean, I guess I catch it, but they did. So, you know, I think Bobby is a guy that the UFC knows they're going to get a good fight out of. Every time you step in, they're going to get a good fight out of him. So I think they like that part. He's entertaining. I follow him on Twitter. He's very quiet on social media. He don't do a lot of social media, which I kind of like. I mean, I like the silent assassin. So, like you were saying, Iaquinta, it has been 2 years since he's had a fight. So his last fight was October 2019. He's about to fight, November 2021? So it's going to be 2 years. So, but a couple weeks ago, like we said, we might not be able to use ring rust as an excuse anymore. But at the same time, 2 years is a long time, Keys.
Yeah, 2 years is a long time. And, I mean, Bobby Green is the kind of guy that Iaquinta wants to walk you down, you know, Iaquinta is going to go in there and wants to walk you down. I mean, that's the way that he is. He's going to get low. You know, he's going to be in that boxing zone. You know, he's a slugger. He wants to have a brawl. And, you know, I think Bobby Green is going to have to, you know, I think Bobby Green is going to have to turn up his offense a little bit in that fight. Not to the point where he's being reckless. You know, I wouldn't want him to go too much where he's making careless mistakes, but he's going to have to turn up his offense a little bit. He can still fight his pace, but do turn up your output, because a guy that like Iaquinta is going to want to walk you down early on, and he's going to start. Iaquinta starts the fight right away. Like, that's pretty much the way that we've seen him fight for some time now. You know, Iaquinta wants to start the fight right away. He's not a guy that wants to waste any seconds in the octagon. So he's going to definitely be throwing volume, and he's going to want to stand and box, and Bobby Green welcomes that. But he's going to need to turn up his output, because we saw what happened versus the Fiziev guy. I mean, I think in that fight, I think Bobby Green was aware of his power, but we also saw that Fiziev hit him with a lot of big shots, and Bobby Green was fine. You know, he never looked rocked to me in that fight. I don't recall a moment where I felt like he was really in danger, and I was like, oh, damn, Fiziev could finish the fight right here. Like, there really wasn't. I don't recall a moment like that. I mean, if one did happen, then it's slipping my mind, but I just don't recall it. Now, I don't think Bobby Green was really threatened by Fiziev's power, and Fiziev has a lot of power. I just don't think he was really threatened by it, but I think he was wary of it. You know, he was still being careful around it, you know, and he was still picking his shots. But I think this fight, you know, I'd like to see him open up more and have a bit more output. For sure. I think this is a fight to really make Bobby Green, to really put him into the spot where he wants to be. You know, I think a win over Iaquinta, you know, Bobby Green is, you know, it only goes up from there. That's what I think. You beat Iaquinta, you're pretty much, you know, he's getting to a spot where, you know, he's in a good place, I would say.
Yeah. And I do got to say that I do like Aldana fighting Jermaine Duran to me. I do like that fight because Aldana has definitely been fighting her way up. She's doing it the right way. And the UFC is definitely doing a great job with her matchmaking. So I do like that fight. I think Aldana is definitely going to have to – one thing about Aldana is going to have to definitely take Jermaine Duran to me down. If you go back and watch that Amanda Nunes fight, every time she got taken down, it was like she was a turtle on her back. She didn't know how to get back to her feet, and Amanda just dominated her on the mat. And I think Aldana has the same, if not better than equal wrestling and takedown as Amanda Nunes. So I do like this fight for Aldana. You definitely been ringing Aldana bell for a while. And I think this fight could be her coming out party. So I definitely want to see how she does in this fight against the number one contender. So let's go Aldana.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, Aldana's last fight, I'm kind of annoyed because what was I doing? I think I was like in the kitchen or something like that when she fought before, and it wasn't even really on purpose. I just happened to be I think that was on the Poirier card, and I was in the kitchen helping my cousin make some food, and you know, I was just trying to be a good host. I had like a good handful of people over my apartment, and I was just trying to help out. And, you know, people were smoking outside. I might even went and smoked outside real quick. And I came back in. I was helping in the kitchen and everything. And then I also didn't anticipate that the fight was going to end so quick. I think she got, I guess there was an early stoppage first and second round in that fight. And I thought that if I went in the kitchen, I would have been good. Like, all right, I'll come back in. No, I might miss, you know, first couple minutes of the first round. You know, I'll catch the, you know, rounds two and three, whatever. And, you know, let Aldana feel her out in the first round, and then I'll come in there. And then the fight was over. But when I came back in the room, they were like, oh, man, that fight was fast. I was like, damn, man, I missed the whole performance. So that's tough. So I definitely don't want to miss Aldana's next fight because that was by accident. I didn't even mean to miss it. I didn't think it was going to be that quick. Now, I thought Kunitskaya, I thought that was going to be a firefight. You know, I didn't think that that was going to be a quick one like that. But, you know, Aldana is a beast. I've been saying that for years. And, you know, she's another one since she was unranked. You know, she's another one that I've been – I liked her fighting style since she was – you know, before she was in the rankings. And now she's number four, about to fight the number one contender, somebody who has, you know, fought for belts and been a champion before. And, you know, I think if she wins this fight, you got to have her fight Nunes. No, I don't really think there's another fight to make unless Nunes has a fight already, but I mean, it'd probably be after that. It'd probably be, you know, next year, I would think, probably first quarter next year. I wouldn't think it'd be later, but either way, not a big fight for her, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this could be a coming out party for Aldana. And this is one of those fights that, you know, that you like to see, man. You like to see, you know, an up-and-comer, you know, go against a seasoned vet. Let's see who gets it done. And if you ask me right now, I think Aldana takes her down, dominates her on the mat, and Aldana wins the fight. I know Aldana came in, she didn't make weight her last fight, but that's because her menstrual cycle came on the week of the fight, and she couldn't cut no more weight, and she was putting on more water weight. So, you know, I kind of sort of had a feeling that it had to be something going on with her because normally she's very professional when it comes to her fights. So I wanted to see whether or not they had some medical come out, and lo and behold, it had came out late Friday night that's why she couldn't cut no more weight. So, you know, hey, I like her in this fight. But look, man, let's talk about this before we got to go. We got about 5 minutes left. And this is something that drives me crazy, but it might be something you like. The potential triple title fight at the December pay-per-view. You will have Charles Oliveira, probably Dustin Poirier as the main event. you'll have Amanda Nunes and Pena as the co-main event. And then who's the third fight?
I can't remember off the top. I was wondering.
Brandon Moreno and Santoya, I think.
Okay.
How do you feel about the potential three title match, end of the year, pay-per-view?
I mean, it kind of is part of the problem we were just talking about, where they load up on big fights and then you end up having these lackluster cards after it as a result. So that's pretty much like one of the things that they love to do nowadays that causes that to happen, because then you end up with these, you know, one fight, you know, one title fight cards where it's not even really a belt, you know, like that interim heavyweight belt. You know, you end up with cards like that where they pretty much had to rush to make a belt because they didn't have a title fight. You know, in my opinion, that's pretty much, you know, more or less what happened. I think they were just pressured to, you know, create some type of hype around a fight because they really didn't have anything, you know, for August. You know, they didn't have a high-profile title fight. And, it, you know, part of that reason is because they love doing these, you know, three title fight cards. You know, like the Usman Masvidal 2 card they just did with the three. I believe that one had as well. But either way, it was it's not that great. You know, I think that, you know, each of those, you know, I don't really like Moreno having to be, like, the first title fight out of three. You know, I think that's not the right way to go when you're trying to, you know, you have a pretty hot flyweight division right now. You know, I don't know why you're going to try to, like, undermine them by putting them on, you know, with two other title fights. You know, I think that fight should be, you know, that fight should be, I think that should be a main event. You know, I think Moreno and Pantoa should be a main event. And, you know, build that division up. You already have, you know, a very fun champion. You know, Moreno's a savage. You know, put them in there. The flyweight's been looking great. I think that should be a main event, you know, for its own card. Put another fight underneath that. Put, you know, Nunes and Pena as the co-main event to Moreno. You know, build up the flyweights. You know, that's what you should be doing, I think, if you're the UFC. I think you know, the flyweight division almost died. So I think you should be doing what you got to do to build it back up. So, you know, I don't really like that. I don't really like that it's three title fights. I mean, it's interesting that they're doing it. It's interesting enough to talk about. But overall, if it was my decision, would I do it? No.
And I am in total agreement. I would have had Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier as a standalone main event for the December card. And I probably would have had TJ Dillashaw fighting somebody else in the co-main event. Maybe Dillashaw versus Jose Aldo in the co-main event of that card. And then in January, you bring Brandon Moreno as the main event, and you have Amanda Nunes as the co-main event. This triple title fight thing, it's good as far as getting eyes on your product if you're the UFC, but at the same time, is you don't need to do that, because basically whoever's the first fight, the first title fight on that card, you're basically saying that card, that division doesn't hold as much importance as the co-main event and the main event. So I would have rolled out Brandon Moreno as the main event in January and the Amanda Nunes as the co-main event, and I would have had TJ versus maybe Aldo as the co-main event of the Dustin Poirier and Charles Oliveira fight. So that's what I would have did. I think you could get the same amount of buzz as long as you build up the undercard. The other fights, as long as you build up the undercard, you'll get the same amount of buzz. So I just don't understand the triple title fight thing. It just makes no sense. It's just bad business, if you ask me. But, you know, we kind of, you know, we talked about a lot tonight. Any last words, bro?
No, nothing. Nothing really. I mean, the, you know, one thing that I will say is, you know, it's really tough. You know, I don't really watch the news that much. I don't really watch much news at all. You know, there's too many agendas on the news for me. You know, I feel like a lot of it is, you know, there's too many agendas. There's too many, you know, underlying objectives that, you know, political parties want to reach. So I don't really like to watch the news. I feel like it's all propaganda for the most part. But I mean, it is this, you know, what happened in Afghanistan, and, you know, I see soldiers losing their lives and families losing loved ones, you know, with the whole, you know, continuing situation in Afghanistan with the whole Afghanistan exit. You know, I just want to say, I feel for the families. I'm really sorry for what had happened. And, you know, my heart goes out to the families who, you know, may have lost their loved ones, or, you know, soldiers who may have been injured in, you know, in an event revolving around that situation. So, yeah, that's pretty much my closing thought on that. And, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, and I'm gonna end on basically on the same note. Prayers to everyone down in Louisiana that's displaced right now due to the hurricane that just rolled through there. Hopefully, United States and FEMA, we can get down there and get those people set back up and get them living, you know, as close to a normal life as possible, as soon as possible. So, sending prayers that way, you know. Lee and Keating, once again, positive people, positive energy, yield positive results. As always, make sure you take care of yourself, take care of others, practice social distancing. COVID is not over. It's still out there, so protect yourselves. Lee and Keating signing off. As always, we end this show with a peace.